Number 683, 683.
If the sky's above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises, friend. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him.
Couple of songs out of the supplement book. Number 100. These were songs we tried or started learning last month. Number 100.
Oh,
Number 76. 76.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, alleluia, alleluia. We sing the song of the redeemed. And at the end of our journey, we shall bow down on bended knee, and with the angels up in heaven, we'll sing the song of victory. Glory.
Sneak one more in here. Let's see. How about number 73? 73.
High above the seraphim, sounds an everlasting hymn, voices echo through the hall, and high above the seraphim, sounds an everlasting hymn. Voices echo through the hall and shake the temple wall. Living creatures bless the King, for it with the elders sing. Worthy He who overcame the word of God, his name. Night to night I come to him, kneel before his diadem. While a thousand sing, I fall before the King. Soon will he be changing me, clothed in
song picked out this evening, but I did have some scriptures to read and a few comments to make. Also, Linda Smith gave me this. This was just a little exchange that came to pass this morning between Aiden, which of course is Donna's grandson, and herself as the worship service was going on, and she thought this might encourage us, and it does. So here's some questions this five-year-old boy ask about what was going on this morning. So if he's 5 years old, the five-year-old boy dropped his money into the collection plate, then leaned over to ask his great-grandmother, "What are they going to do with my money?" She whispered back, "They use it to buy things for your class, like study books and things to help teach about God." That, of course, was Linda's. He said, "Do they use it to buy that drink, too?" "Yes, they do." That drink is what Jesus told Christians to drink when we remember him at worship. All this conversation before the end of the song, before partaking of the communion, I told him we will have a study on it later. He said, okay, I want to. So that's encouraging from Aiden. You know, all the things that we do here, and we were privileged to have some children here, which we had a lot more, but even those who are not here all the time, see what we're doing, and they have questions, and that's where it begins, you know, when little children start asking questions about God, about what this is, why do these people gather here and do this, that's where it starts. And I think God made children to be inquisitive in that way so that they would learn about God. I had a few passages that I wanted to read from Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah, and as I continue on in this life and see the context of the world as it continues to move about us and things change to one degree, or I know in some ways nothing ever changes. There's nothing new under the sun, but in other ways the context of the world that you're living in, or the nation or the community that you're living in, can have some shifts as the thinking goes on. And one of those shifts that I have noticed over the last number of years is that not only we have seen, of course, everybody in here is familiar with signs that you see go and worship at the church of your choice. And that kind of sign has been around for a long time. You'll see it sometimes on marquees at church buildings or in other places. Sometimes I see that on the back of trucks, 18-wheelers going down the road. I think that has been, it's not only at this point the attitude of it's a good thing, and of course we could have a discussion about that, which many have. Societally, many see that as being a good thing for people to choose to go to a church of their choice. But nowadays, it's gotten beyond this idea of the church of your choice, and it's gone to the God of your choice. It's not as though that there's one God to worship, but there's many gods that you can choose to worship. I haven't actually seen a sign that says that. Go to worship the God of your choice, but it won't surprise me when I do see it, because that is the sort of collective idea that you see continually being promoted, that it's unfair for there only to be one God, and so that every God should have his equal time, and everybody should be able to, worship the God of their choice. And so passages like these from Isaiah are becoming, I think, will become more and more important for us as Christians to have at our fingertips and know where they are and what they say. Because this is the fundamental message of the Bible, at least one of them, and that is that there is one God, and that one God created the heavens and the earth and all things therein. And that one God had one son, and that one son is the only mediator between God and man. And so that essential message, and there's one Savior, and that Savior is the only God, the only Savior that is going to be able to save us from our sins and give us a right relationship with God. So if you will remember, many of you obviously know this, perhaps all, but chapters 43, 44, and 45 of Isaiah deal with this particular affirmation and this particular question in a context in which the children of Israel were worshiping idols. And he gives some illustrations regarding chapter 45, where he talks about the person cuts down a tree and he makes part of it He warms himself with part of it, and he bakes with part of it, and then the other part, he makes an idol and bows down and worships it. So God is declaring himself in a very particular and emphatic way in these verses. And I'm just going to read a select few out of each one of these chapters. But this is important, I think, as we continue on in this particular generation. These verses are going to be critical for us to know, because this is where it comes down to. Who is God? And is there only one? This idea of pluralism that we have in our society has bounded off to a new realm. And that new realm is a plurality of gods. It's a pluralistic view of gods. So here we are in chapter 43 in verses 10 through 13. These are the first ones I'll read. It says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord. I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it?" So those are a few from chapter 43. Here's a few from chapter 44, starting in verse 6. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you that from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." Interesting that God is saying to the children of Israel, and if we went back a number of chapters, we would see how that he is showing a context of them being this God, the Jehovah, being the God that led them out of bondage of Egypt and Egypt and all of those things. Let me go just a few more from chapter 45 now, and verses 18 through 23, and these will end the ones that I'm going to read. "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. You who have escaped from the nations, they have no knowledge, who carry the wood on their wood of their carved images and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look at me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath." Important verses, and we need to know where they are, because this is going to be challenged more and more as the time goes on. The idea, the truth, the fact that there is one God. Isaiah 43, 44, and 45. Good ones to remember.
I saw this song on the Temple Terrace Church of Christ website several months ago, and I could barely hear it. And I got on YouTube and found it, and I really like this song. Hope y'all do too. Let's sing the first, second, and third if we can.
Was grace and
We are recording the service this evening, so if you want to become more familiar with some of these new songs, you can go online and listen to that. I think that will be helpful. Singing some beautiful songs this evening that I have never sung before, and really enjoying that. I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. This is a very rich passage of Scripture. I think it has 100 sermons in it alone. But I've always found this passage to be just full of depth and riches, and I think you could turn any page in the Bible and say that, to tell you the truth. But, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls.
The supplement book number 72 shouldn't be a new song for most folks, but since we've had the new books, we don't.
As most of you know, so my voice may disappear halfway through this. Just pick up and carry on without me. Hilltops and Glory.
Onward rejoicing, I tread my way. Higher and climbing each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view, where all shall be made new. Hilltops of glory I now can see. Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory. Be strong.
Please be seated. Both stands at 78.
Faithful love flowing down from the
open your Bibles to Psalm 46. We're going to look at about four different passages of Scripture. This is going to be a short invitation, not very lengthy at all. Trying to remember what night it was, but it was one night. What was the night that we had all the real bad storms? Was it Monday? Yeah, last Monday night. Elaine and I were in Northport, Alabama, just barely north of Tuscaloosa at Wes and Sarah's house. And they'd been talking all day about how we were going to have bad weather that day and possibly tornadoes. And so being a mountain boy myself, never having been in a situation where there were tornadoes nearby, I was curious and a little concerned about it, not just for myself, but obviously my daughter and her family lives there, and Elaine was with me. So as the evening went on and we started getting reports of severe weather and possible tornadoes and all that kind of stuff, you know, I'm saying things to Sarah and Wes like, do you guys have a plan? What do you do if there's a tornado? Have you thought this thing through? And they're just real casual about it. They're sitting there watching TV, and it's not they weren't overly concerned about it. And so as the evening went on, I'm on my brand new smartphone, and I'm looking at the weather. I'm off in my bedroom looking at the weather, and so I saw there was a an alert that possible tornadoes in the area, and I walked in the living room and mentioned it. They're still not very concerned about it, and I said, "What will you do if there is a tornado? Well, we'll go get in one of the closets. Okay. So I went back in the bedroom, and Elaine and I were playing with Kale and having a good time, and so I checked it again, and then they're talking now about tornadoes having been sighted in the general vicinity. So I went in and in the living room again, and we turned on I suggested that we turn on the news and watch the weather, and they did. And so they were, you know, talking about tornadoes here and tornadoes there, and so we're sitting there talking about this, and all of a sudden, the siren goes off. I said, "You hear that? That means there's," and sure enough, the guy immediately on the TV says, "Tornado's been sighted here and there, and there's a tornado warning for Northport, areas north of Tuscaloosa, and yada yada." So we all went and got in a closet. And so here we have this three or four-day-old baby, and Kale and Elaine and Sarah are in the closet. And we all went in there at first, and then next thing I knew, Wes was out roaming around through the house doing stuff. But anyway, that was my very first experience being in an area where there was a tornado sighted, and it was a tornado warning. And I'm not the kind of person who's usually gets very alarmed about weather events. I guess in part because I did grow up in the mountains, and you know, we can have severe thunderstorms here, and we can have, you know, deep snows, and those don't scare me; they excite me. I'm not afraid of those at all. But I've never really been concerned that much about weather events. And I wasn't terrified. I was just concerned about it. And so I felt like being in a closet on a house on a slab was, inadequate protection from a tornado. And Sarah and Wes are in the process of trying to buy a house, and it's on a slab, has no storm shelter. And naturally, I was encouraging them and in the backyard discussing with Wes where he could locate it and how he could build it and all that kind of stuff. So I would really like to see them get a storm shelter if they do buy that house. Where am I going with all this? Well, while all this was going on, I was thinking about, you know, we are at this moment in time concerned about this physical storm, and we are seeking shelter from this physical storm. But then I thought, we live in a world that is a storm. Life is a storm. It can be. I mean, I've been very blessed in my life, and I have many pleasant things that I enjoy on a daily basis. But there are times when our life can be a storm. And we create storms for ourselves when we get involved in sin. And when we wreck our lives and we realize that we're on a collision course with damnation, and we realize the storm that we're in, we come to our senses and we say, where can I go for shelter? Where can I go for shelter from this storm? And so I've looked at just a few passages of Scripture, and I'd like to read them with you, and hopefully they'll encourage you as they have encouraged me. Psalms 46. I told you right the first time. Psalms 46. Starting in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the earth of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. The psalmist is saying here, if you're in an earthquake, if you're out in the middle of the ocean in a storm, whatever the situation is, God is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your very present help in trouble. Turn with me over to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 3. In thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In thy righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline that ear to me and save me. Be thou to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. God is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our rock of habitation. Verse 3, be thou to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. Thou hast given command to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. I like that statement, thou hast given command to save me. Now we have to play our part. We have to do our part. But God has given command that all those who will seek him as a refuge, who will accept him as the rock and as the fortress, the command has been given that those who will accept that will be saved. Turn with me now to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. I used this verse in a sermon that I preached a year or two ago. I don't know if you recall it or not, but I love this verse here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. The righteous runs into it. He's not just meandering casually along. Well, I'll get there when I get there. He runs into this tower for safety. God is the strong tower, and we need to run to him for safety. One other passage. Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Starting in verse 18, Joe read from this passage this morning in his sermon when he was talking about Moses interceding for the children of Israel after they had sinned. And starting in verse 18, it says, then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. Moses speaking to God. I pray thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place near me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. God here protects Moses from certain physical death. He said, no man can see my face and live. But I will, there's a place near me, and I will let you stand on the rock. And as I pass by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover with my hand as I pass by. Now, I believe that this actually physically happened, but I have to be careful about this. Rick Harrington and Earl Metcalf are known for seeing shadows and types in the Old Testament, and I think I see a shadow and type here. I think that when God said to Moses, there is a place near me, and you still stand on the rock, I think the place near him was Jesus Christ, and Moses was standing on the rock, figuratively speaking. And when he said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, that represents Jesus. And so with that in mind, and you can take issue with me on that point if you want to after the lesson, let's sing Rock of Ages in just a second. But before we do that, I want to offer the invitation to anybody who is here tonight who may not be a Christian. If you are not a Christian, you do not have a refuge. You do not have a shelter from the storm. The storm is going to hit you head on, and there's nothing that can protect you from that storm if you are not in the cleft of the rock, if you are not in the strong tower that is the name of the Lord. You may have questions in your mind about how do I do that? How do I come into a right relationship with God? If you have questions about it, please talk to some of us after worship. We'd be glad to talk to you about that and from God's word share with you what he expects of you to get into a right relationship with him. If you are a Christian and you've sinned in such a way that you need to come forward before the congregation and confess that sin, in either case, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing.